something that we could actually enrich the whole of our society, that we wouldn't be going back to the rest of the UK with the begging bowl to pick up our £10 billion, something that could have been good for the whole of society. And yet the two major parties, one in particular, didn't recognise it because, in my humble opinion, they stuck to their xenophobic views. And I think there's a feeling within the community, if you come back to my industry, that one of the major parties couldn't organise a piss-up in a brewery. And the other major parties determined to see the brewery go bankrupt. And that is no way for us as a society to move forward. And what is good for business and what is strong a business should be good for the whole of our society. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. Indeed, the workforce is central to any economy that wants to grow in strength. And also diversity is central to that economy. That's why an open, welcoming and an inclusive city, an open, welcoming and inclusive Northern Ireland is something that is key to Alliance principles. Our next speaker, Raffaella Foley, is from Ulster University, one of our key partners when we're working with the Belfast City Region Deal. The ambitious plans for the deal include investment in innovation and digital capabilities. Without our universities on board, Ulster University and Queen's University, who have both committed £50 million, we would not see the successes of our young people. We would not see the successes of those who come to Belfast for higher learning. Professor Raffaella Foley is the Provost of Ulster University's Jordanstown and Belfast campus. She sees the world through the works of linguistics, understanding that languages break down barriers, that they open doors and they create possibilities. They create a diverse group of young people. They create a diverse workplace because we know that those economies who are the most diverse are those who are the most successful. So I'd like to welcome Professor Raffaella Foley.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, thank you very much for the introduction and for remembering that I'm a linguist, because that really is what has brought me into academia, and it's really a very important part of myself as a person and as a professor who still teaches her own subject. Although obviously I am very privileged to now have the possibility to diversify a little what I do by also helping the university to push its mission in the Belfast and Jordanstown campuses. Our participation in the city deal, alongside colleagues at Queen's University Belfast, will see us applying our expertise to help maximise the potential of what is effectively an unparalleled opportunity to boost the economic growth and prosperity of the Belfast region. It is really an unprecedented collaborative approach, something that I see it's really, really important, whereby both universities will work together to develop projects in key areas of digital health technology, creative industry, and advanced manufacturing. To invigorate what is a region that really has done a lot and has moved so far in the past many years, but also has got so much more that it wants to achieve. One important thing for me to mention is that the projects that have been developed as part of the city deal were not picked out of sort of a new set of ideas. They actually form a part of a trajectory that the university has entered. So a couple of years ago, when the new vice chancellor was well embedded in the university, we started a process of looking at what we are really good at and what we have really developed in the last few decades. And so we identified a number of research themes, and these research themes then led to the formation of Research Institute. And it is in those areas that when we were called to the table by the council and the other council areas that were involved in this, we thought we could really seriously contribute to some areas where we think we're already quite advanced in our knowledge. So although Ulster has really a very broad educational base, which it aims to continue delivering, and I will close by going back to this for a second at the end, we identified areas where we thought we were very advanced in our research capability and that we could aspire to contribute this region to be the best at. That is healthcare and creative industries. So CTDL expects us to do so, to continue to develop this expertise, but to do it also in partnership with industry, which, as you, if you know something about the university, it really is again something that is very much about the ethos of Ulster University, a university that works very closely with its local partners. And so we will develop projects that are in line with what industry needs, in line with the UK industrial strategy, and also, of course, the NI draft strategy. So for a second, let me mention the two areas, the creative industry, it's the Screen and Innovation Lab. It will see essentially boosting a field of expertise that is already very strong in Northern Ireland, but that sees a lot of people engage in jobs that are not yet at the maximum level at which they could be. So this is about increasing an industry that is already very alive, but that could create higher value jobs even more through this kind of work. So this flagship centre will cement a closer engagement between the regions, to university and industrial partner in the areas of screen technology at the forefront of the creative economy, providing a dedicated space where academics, researchers and the creative sector will be able to collaborate and cross-fertilise in this area. The other important element is the Center for Digital Health Care Technology. We're working together. University will create a Center for Digital Technology and Associated Living Labs in the areas of cardiology, diabetes, respiratory, and stroke. The project will see the development of integration between the private sector, university, and hospital healthcare professionals working together in partnership to jointly identify accelerated opportunities for improved healthcare pathways and solutions that obviously are going to be of benefit to everyone, which is an important part of CTDL, because CTDL is about inclusive growth and growth for everyone. Interestingly, this will also be in partnership with a living lab at the Royal Victoria Hospital, which is already very active in this area. What we think, obviously, is that these two areas will also provide opportunities for increased level of R&D, but also for global FDIs, once things become a little bit clearer when it comes to Brexit. So to close, what I'd like to say is that obviously, this is a very exciting opportunity for us. We see it as a real important prospect for the future. This is not a project that will take us a year or two to develop. It's a long-term project for the next 10 years and beyond. The element that must continue to be considered is what is a systemic limitation to the university funding, both in terms of local cap on students' number and fee levels, which does curtail our ability to drive the economy internationally. So these projects will create opportunities, hopefully, for jobs in those areas. But we cannot answer this by saying, okay, what will university do to create more expertise, more talent in those areas? Will the university or Ulster University, obviously I'm speaking for our university, will we be deciding, therefore, to, if we continue to have a cap in numbers of students, will we decide to stop teaching a bunch of other things that are part of our current curriculum so that we can create more skills in this area? And the answer is, I don't think we should do that, because we also, apart from CTDLs, we also have a commitment as a university to a broad education, to an education that will provide opportunities for students to engage in this kind of sectors, but also for students who might want to continue to study English or history or anything else that is offered at university level. So unquestionably, CTDLs provides an amazing opportunities, can harness the power and the impact of a nice university in what is, we think, a new and amazing opportunities for the region to press the fast forward button and drive our economic development. And we're really delighted that we can do this together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rafi. Up next, we'll be hearing from Rajesh Rana. Rajesh is the director of Andras Hotels, Belfast's largest hotel group, which owns and operates six hotels in the city, the most recent being a $12 million investment, Hampton by Hilton, which opened last year. Rajesh has recently also taken on the role of the president of the Belfast Chamber of Commerce, and this is where him and I have come into contact, working alongside officials and council and alongside everyone in Belfast City Centre regarding the regeneration following the Primark fire. Rajesh is actually from an architecture background, living in England for, I believe, over a decade. And his expertise in urban planning, whenever he returned to Belfast, led him to want to take on life with his children and through the eyes of a parent, to see a city that is actually livable for all of the people who come, visit and play here. So I'd like you to welcome Rajesh.
Thank you, Nuala. Thank you very much for the invitation this morning. Very pleased to be here. Yes, I'm representing Belfast Chamber this morning, largely. Belfast Chamber is the voice for business in Belfast. We represent businesses across all sectors and across all parts of the city. So we feel that does give us a perspective on what businesses need to help us play our part in delivering the Belfast City Region City Deal. We were very pleased to be part of helping to lobby for the city deal. We and Retail and I, Glyn, went to Westminster to help lobby to get it over the line, and we're very pleased to get the result that we're all looking forward to helping to deliver. The project is anticipated to create 20,000 jobs across the six council areas within its life period. In Belfast, there are three major infrastructure projects. First is the pedestrian bridge from the Omo Park to the Gasworks. Second is a phase two of the glider. And third is the Belfast Story Heritage Centre on the old Belfast Telegraph site. So three major catalysts, along with the massive educational and skills project that Rafi mentioned. And in the context of the Belfast agenda, that is going to be a major catalyst that is going to drive the investment in jobs and housing growth in Belfast. So apologies, I'm mostly going to talk about Belfast, but the reason is we do feel that Belfast is the main economic driver that is going to benefit all of Northern Ireland. What's good for Belfast will benefit all the council areas. Belfast is also, in our opinion, the main tourism gateway, the cultural hub, and the centre of excellence for research and development. So what's good for Belfast does benefit all of the province. The Belfast agenda itself is a very highly ambitious project. It anticipates creating 46,000 new jobs and 60,000 new people living in Belfast by 2035. In the short term, it was planning to create 15,000 jobs by 2021, having been launched in 2017. So that does call for a very fast pace of development, highly ambitious. And the questions are, how will this be achieved? How can we play our part to achieve that? But what policies and infrastructure framework is going to be needed to actually deliver that on the ground? So I'm going to float three ideas I think we need to focus on as a city to help make sure we play our part in delivering that, which are around planning, public realm, and a physical master plan for the city. You'll have heard many people complain about the speed of planning, not just in Belfast, again across Northern Ireland, although I have to say, it's a lot better than it was under a planning service. It's not to criticise the people who work in planning. They are hardworking, focused people. The problem I feel is Belfast needs to feel like it's in competition with other cities outside of Northern Ireland. Dublin in particular, I think we need to be getting geared up to think, how do we really compete with Dublin as a city region? Look at the cities in the north of England and Scotland. Those cities, relatively close, relatively similar size, they collaborate, but they also compete for investment. When you go to a council in the north of England or Scotland, they're pleased to see you. And to be frank, that's not always the welcome you get in the council in Belfast. So part of the problem is, and again, that's not a criticism, but part of the problem is the city council needs to have control of regeneration and highways powers, because planning specifically has got too many statutory stakeholders that are not within council control. So to deliver the regeneration, deliver the planning, when the Assembly gets back, and I say when, I think that should be the number one on the agenda, is to give those powers to the city to deliver the agenda that we're all going to benefit from. Secondly, in terms of public realm, there's a lot of chat at the moment about master plans and visions and public realm and how we're going to make the city more attractive and more livable, which again, we all agree with. The question is, how do we do that and what does it look like? Glad you mentioned families, Nuala. We're very keen to get more families into the city. And the nighttime economy is one of the great success stories. And obviously, what Biancourt are doing is the beacon for that. A lot of people talk about why does the city centre close at nighttime in the main retail core. I would suggest it's because the city is over-pedestrianised. You think about the city pedestrian core. That was created during the Troubles when the city had the fence all around it. What you do when you pedestrianise a city is retail can benefit, but everything else moves out. You look at where the nighttime economy is, it's where you can get drop-off by car or taxi. You think about if you want to build apartments, you still need drop-off by car or taxi. If you have a complete pedestrianised city core, all that you get is retail, and that closes at 6 o'clock. So I think we need to have a look at the whole structure of movement and public realm in the city to allow those growth areas, in particular the nighttime economy and city centre living, to come into the city core. And that takes me to the third point about a physical master plan for all the city centre. There is the local development plan, the city council is planning. This is largely a land use zoning plan. It has policies built into it, but it's not what I would call a physical master plan. If you look at Dublin again, Dublin Docklands had a very successful master plan which set the parameters for growth in the Docklands area. And when you drive through the Dublin Docklands now, you can see the great success that's been. And it's a success because it sets the parameters that developers need to see and understand in terms of heights, massing, infrastructure, transport, public transport, that everyone knows what they're betting into, the planners understand, and they can hopefully fast-track those planning approvals. So within that way, hopefully we can, to wrap up, get a city that's more competitive, more attractive and well-planned to deliver the jobs and growth that we're all looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Rajesh, I think we will go back to the idea of that regeneration powers and the collaborative working that you were discussing. I think following the pre-mark fire, the only kind of silver lining in that cloud is the fact that it has brought a number of people together to work on regenerating the entirety of the city centre. One of those partners is Glyn Roberts. So we're going to talk about shopping now. Glyn has been no stranger to collaborative working. He's been working alongside Belfast City Council since long before the Belfast Region City Deal. And those of you who were here last night will have heard some of his thoughts on what we need to secure the success of our independent retail sector. Retail NI is an organisation that represents many, many diverse independent businesses across Northern Ireland. And a city deal is a central pillar to increasing footfall in our town centres and in our city centres. So I'd like to welcome Glyn.
Nuala, thank you very much. And, you know, it was a pleasure to work with you in your time as Lord Mayor. I think that where the retail sector looks at city deals, it looks at them very much, obviously, as game changers for our economy as a whole, but also as a delivery vehicle for major regeneration projects, which can only boost not just our retail sector, but our hospitality sector as well. And I'm delighted, my colleagues, on the, because retail and hospitality are very much two sides of the same coin. Our two sectors are interlinked, and in many respects, you can't do high streets and town centres without retail and hospitality working together. We were one of the first business groups to call for city deals back in 2012, 2013. And as Rajesh says, we were at the launch in the House of Commons. And it sort of struck me at that launch where you had six councils. This is the Belfast Regional City Deal launch. You had six councils. You had six political parties there, all coming together to speak with one voice at that event at Westminster. And it showed that this place can do partnership when it puts its mind to. And in many respects, I think the Assembly could learn a lot from the process around the city deal. So I think that that is encouraging. And of course, if you look at some of the big ticket regeneration projects, as Rajesh rightly says, the Belfast deal can bring a potential of over $1 billion investment, 22 integrated projects underpinned by investment in skills, increasing our GVA by potentially up to $470 million. Big regeneration projects such as the Bangor Waterfront regeneration, Carrickfergus Public Realm, the Newry City regeneration. If you look at the Derry Strabane deal, it's things like the Canal Basin project in Strabane Town Centre, the A2 economic corridor, for instance, the Central Riverfront regeneration to fix the underutilisation of the banks of the River Foyle. So there is a lot of game-changing regeneration projects that are there. But in order to make the city deals work, there's one important thing that needs to happen, or several important things that need to happen. Firstly, councils need their regeneration powers. It was an utterly daft and stupid decision by the last Assembly executive not to give the councils regeneration powers. What on earth is the point of even councils' power over planning, councils' power over economic development, but don't give them power over regeneration? And that is a short-term issue that needs to be resolved, because it's going to be very difficult and it's going to limit the potential of the councils to do their job with these city deals unless they have regeneration powers. But in many respects, as Nuala rightly said, the Primark fire was a tragedy. But it did do one positive thing. It did put the issue of town and city centre regeneration higher up the political agenda. And I was very struck that, obviously, the lobbying that went on, that we got $2 million for rejuvenation post the Primark fire from the Chancellor. In fact, when the Chancellor was here, he wanted to stop off and actually see what he was getting for his $2 million. So I think that has been an important thing. It has been almost like a silver lining, where not just policymakers are now taking the issue of town and city centre regeneration, but the general public as well is taking the issue of regeneration and actually ask themselves what type of Belfast city centre, what type of town centre, what type of high street they want. I've said that 2019 will be very much the year of retail reinvention. I don't subscribe to the theory that the high street is in decline, or that our retail sector is in decline. We're not seeing the death of the high street. What we are seeing is the reconstruction of the high street. And in any reconstruction process, there are always casualties. But I do believe, and it is changing for the better. To survive in retail now, it's not necessarily being a big retailer, but it's being a small, strategically focused retailer that's agile, that can change, can adapt to what consumers want. That is the future. And we've recently published our Regeneration NI plan, which sets out how we get those 21st century town centres. The big thing, and I'll just finish on this, the big thing that we need to fix is our broken and antiquated system of business rates. It is quite simply not fit for purpose. And we have said that it is a higher priority for our future executive, rather than corporation tax, they need to fix our business rates. And ourselves and our colleagues in Hospitality Ulster have put forward a targeted approach to small business rate relief scheme, which we continue to talk to the political parties about. I think there was another missed opportunity this week. As you're probably aware, the Chancellor set up a $675 million future high streets fund. Northern Ireland was supposed to get $20 million of that. Do you know how much we got in the budget? Zero. And that was despite continual lobbying of the government and the Secretary of State. Independent retailers in England in the last budget got a third off their business rates. What do we get in this budget? A 2% increase. Why is it that independent retailers and small business in England get a third off their rates bill, but all we get, and the people that I and Rajesh represent, get zero? In fact, we get an increase. Northern Ireland is not just lagging behind the rest of the UK. We're almost a laughingstock when it comes to business rates. It's broken, it needs fixed, and it is top of the agenda, whoever is the next finance minister. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for that, Glyn. Indeed, in the Alliance Party Manifesto, which will be launched in a few weeks, one of our key commitments is the devolution of regeneration powers to local councils, because we do believe it will give us more authority and power to deliver for our town centres and for our cities across Northern Ireland. I want to touch on one of the aspects that each and every one of you has discussed, and that's this thought of collaborative working. In Northern Ireland, we're a little bit of a stranger to collaborative working when it comes to politics, although we do get some of that with the DUP and the Tories indeed, and now SDLP and their new partners in Fianna Fáil. But what I mean collaborative working is actual working that delivers. It's not just the thought process, it's not just the idea of what we can achieve, but it's actually achieving. Rafi talked a little bit about the creative industries. Bill mentioned the importance of the nightlife, as did Rajesh. And Rajesh himself represents a group of people, and we obviously have a high stake in the success of Belfast City Centre. And we just heard from Glyn, who represents quite a lot of independent retailers across Northern Ireland. And one of the key aspects of that is those people want to work together because they want to see the success of Northern Ireland. They want to see the success of Belfast, because we need a Belfast that is thriving. We need a Northern Ireland that is thriving. People won't come and visit us if there's nothing to do, if there's nothing to see, enjoy, good food to eat, a great nightlife. We already are growing in that aspect, but we need to continue to grow. We need to overcome the hurdles that have been put in our place. So I just want to put to the panel, what are the challenges you do believe in this collaborative working? Because we've all been doing it in our own way, but we actually need to step up our game. What are the benefits, but most importantly, what are the lessons? If I start with you, Glyn, because you have been working alongside many different councils since 2012, but actually across the sector from long before that.
Well, I think that it's the bottom line for any business organisation is partnership. It is building coalitions. We have a strategic alliance with Hospitality Ulster and Manufacturing and I, so the three of us work very hand in glove when it comes to talking to government. We have a great partnership with a lot of our town and city-based chambers of commerce, and I think the chambers of commerce are absolutely vital partners for local councils, and we've always championed the need to have a strong network. I think that where we need to come is and work harder on is aligning policy. And I think we have said that rebooting economic policy, and I think a fundamental reboot of economic policy is needed. I think we made a tactical mistake in many respects, putting our eggs in one basket, just talking about corporation tax, where a lot of ways the business groups didn't talk in the same way about investing in infrastructure, town centre regeneration, skills and training, and all of those things. So I think it's, and that's something that when Hospitality Ulster, Manufacturing I, and my own organisation hosted an Northern Ireland event at Westminster, that was our message to MPs, that we need a fundamental reboot of economic policy, and we need to see change that can actually deliver for communities across Northern Ireland.
Absolutely, you need to see a return for what you're actually given. You need to make sure that you can actually say to the people that you represent that this is what you're getting, you have value for your money. That economic policy is obviously quite different to each industry, and it's going to be quite different to the way in which people deliver. And for yourself, Rafi, for the university, you're first and foremost there acting on behalf of the students. But with this Belfast Region City deal, it's not only just about the students, it's actually about what the future and the shape of universities and their role that they have to play within the economy. What are your views in this new collaborative way of working, and what do you see as the real benefits?
Well, the benefits are obvious: lack of competition and integrations of the strength of different university and different bodies of people that really work in the university and make them what they are, means that we can all concentrate to do what we can do better rather than wasting time worrying about being better than the others. And I have to say it's a really refreshing thing to see that, you know, I've heard a lot about this. I'm not from here, I'm Italian, but I have been here for a number of years. In my first part of my career, I was really concentrating on doing linguistics, and so all of that was a little bit beyond me. But in recent years, I obviously have heard about a past that saw competition as perhaps hindering a little bit what could be done, and it has been really, really important to see that when opportunities like this come, You know, the people that are at the head of the institutions that can help deliver something like this are able and capable of putting competition aside to see how expertise in different areas can be garnered together to create what is effectively a multiplier effect. The challenge is, of course, is that you need to put aside a little perhaps anxiety and fear about the past, about things that might have been true at certain point in time. But what I have seen in the context of city deals, when I was very heavily involved at the beginning, but also in the context of, in general, partnership around the city, from my own part, for the projects that I have tried to deliver, that seems to be really what is understood as being needed. So, and you know, it's really important that the students will be at the center of what is effectively a new era, where new projects and collaborations will take part and of our futures, and students will have the opportunities to make the best of what is, you know, two university, further education colleges, and of course partners in industry working together.
Thank you. Rafi, and it is interesting and absolutely spot on to hear that someone who's come to Belfast and now calls Belfast home, the partnership is key, and I think it is something that we do shy away from at times, a lot of the time in politics. But you also spoke about competition, and Rajesh, you represent a number of different organisations as the acting president of the Belfast Chamber of Commerce, and people might think that they might be in competition with each other. And indeed, as part of Andres Hotel Biancor, people might actually think that that's a bit of a competitive field, but actually it is all about working together to actually succeed, because you all have your unique selling points. In your role as the president of the Chamber, what do you see the benefits of collaborative working, and do you have any lessons that have been learned over the past year, in particular working alongside City Council with collaborative working?
Certainly. Well, it has been quite striking in the past year or so, how the different business organisations have worked together. Political stability is something you take for granted when you have it, but boy, you really miss it when you don't. So it's just when people do come together and start working together. And, you know, in our sector in hospitality, the Hotel Federation, you know, we sit on the board, as do Bill's colleagues. And it does strike me how businesses do set aside their competition and work together when we can. And that is something that I think I see is growing. Obviously, businesses are also in competition when it comes to trading, and I think the key is to get a shared vision. That I think the council is the leader in that needs to set that vision that we can all hopefully buy into and agree with, and then align our strategies with what that vision is. For example, the Ulster University move to Belfast is going to be a game changer. It has been a game changer for the whole north of the city centre. And that aligns very nicely with the City Council's strategies and visions. So that's a good example of where that collaboration has suited the university, obviously, or else they wouldn't have done it. But it's where those strategies can align for the greater good.
And thank you. If we want to move on the conversation a little bit to turn towards tourism, as part of the Belfast Region City Deal, there was a number of tourism-led regeneration projects, and one of those is the Belfast Story, which the aim is to be the second major tourist attraction within Belfast, and a great one for the entirety of Northern Ireland as well. But as I said before, if we need people to come into the city, we need places for them to sleep, and we need good restaurants for them to eat in. And one of the key elements to this is actually showcasing the best of what Northern Ireland has to offer. And I direct this question first to you, Bill. How can we best showcase Northern Ireland through your industry? How can we best show people that actually it's worth coming back for again and again?
Well, we have a huge advantage because we have a very friendly population. I had an American once who came to me and said he can't even go for a pee in the toilet without someone talking to him. So we have that as an advantage, but what we don't have is joined up thinking between the politicians, the educationists and the industry to bring forward the talent at the level that we need. When I opened the Merchant Hotel, we decided ourselves, we looked at the grants available and we thought, the amount of paper we have to fill in, it's just not worth it. We paddle our own canoe. But what we did do is say that we want to be one of the best hotels in the world. And I think we constantly have an inferiority complex. And in my company, we don't possess that. We absolutely can be the best.
That's something that I'm very proud of. But I think if you're talking about collaborative thinking, I think we absolutely need to look at our archaic licensing laws, which are an absolute joke. I mean, and we handle it the way, it's a sort of Irish answer to all problems. We just break the law. And because the truth of the matter is, politicians haven't actually grasped hold of this. We have to shut at 1 o'clock, but our entertainment license goes on to 3 o'clock. And if you stop serving drink at 1 o'clock and you leave the entertainment to go to 3 o'clock, you're opening the way for drug dealers. We know this, police know that, police know we know that, we all know it, so we all play a game with each other, and yet nobody will legalise it, and then we have the nonsense of Easter. So that could certainly be changed to the advantage of Northern Ireland. The other thing that I would really love to see is the planners get to grips with lightening up the laws to bring people to live back in our city. I think, you know, we desperately need people to come in, and we have so many... I think we have so many beautiful buildings that, you know, when you look up above, are just lying vacant. And we absolutely could open those up. And I think that when, I'm back to talking about Belfast, but I think when you let people live in the city, are proud of the city, they'll be careful who marches through their city. They'll be careful who represents them in their city. And I think that could bring us in a direction that we all want to go.
Absolutely, thank you, Bill. And I must say that Alliance does not endorse that message of breaking the law. Just, okay. But we would, of
Don't
course...
I know some of these Alliance people. They break the law.
No, we're all non-drinkers here. We don't all have a hangover now today, Bill. But you do focus a lot, obviously, in your industry on tourism. But you mentioned there about the workforce. And one of the aspects of the Belfast City Region deal is the creation of new jobs. But actually, it's about jobs and delivering the skills for people who will have those jobs in the next decade, in the next 20 years. Many people have actually been saying that we are training our young people for jobs that don't yet exist. We need to make sure that our young people have the necessary tools to actually work in the industries that will exist in the next 10 to 20 years, because it's all about a thriving economy. It's all about a circular motion and making sure that people can succeed, because anything that we do for the greater Belfast region will drive the entirety of Northern Ireland. We need more people into our city, whether they're coming to study here or whether they're coming to visit. And over the past 10 years, because of the successes of things like Game of Thrones, we have seen the tourism industry on the rise, and we want to ensure that the tourism industry does continue to rise following Brexit. We need that unique selling point for people, because if we have more people coming to visit, we'll have more people shopping in our retail sector, we'll have more people drinking in our bars and sleeping in our hotel beds. But I just want to put the question to each of you. How do you believe that the Belfast Region City Deal can actually help tourism to drive the Northern Ireland economy from your perspective and your industry? Glenn, I'll start with you.
Well, I think that what we have got to is change the conversation around the daytime and nighttime economies. I think policymakers make a mistake where they put them in two different boxes. Essentially, they're all the same economy. And I was sort of very struck when I was visiting my brother in Dubai over Christmas and the New Year, and I went to the Dubai Mall. And Dubai Mall, as people are aware, is the largest shopping mall in the world. And I talked to the centre manager there, and he was saying something that sort of struck me. The people for their night, Saturday night out, go to the Dubai Mall. Why? Because they have every type of restaurant you want to eat in, but they also have a fantastic range of retail. And in many respects, his ideas and what he was saying is that retail and hospitality long-term will be the same sector. And I think that's absolutely right. What we've got to try and do is in terms of 21st century town centres, is make those town centres, those high streets, fun places that people want to come back time and time again. It's about making them destinations. And I quite often mention this, that it's called the Ballyhackamore factor. I'm not just saying that because my office is in Ballyhackamore, but that's a real good example of an area that 7 or 8 years ago had a 35% vacancy rate. Now it is a zero rate. Why? Because they got that partnership approach right, not just between retail and hospitality, but also the churches, community groups. And they created an offer which people come back time and time again. It is a zero vacancy rate. In fact, it is almost a waiting list of businesses trying to get in there. But it shows that that effective model between retail and hospitality is very much about the future. It's about putting the social in the shopping. And I think that is absolutely where the destination has to be. And I think in terms of the city deal, it is about ensuring that all of those big projects, big ticket projects, are all pushing and developing tourism. I think we need to go further and faster in getting Belfast on the convention circuit as well, trying to get those big conferences to come to Belfast. I think we have a very competitive hotel offering now as well that can enable that to happen. But I think that, you know, we actually do believe that Belfast could be in the top 10 of cities in terms of being destinations. And I think building out and very much post-pre-mark, you know, let's change the conversation around this and let's get Belfast in the top 10.
Rafi, what role do you believe that our universities have to play, Ulster alongside Queen's, in actually showcasing Northern Ireland as a tourist destination spot?
So I think it's well known that there are maybe three main factors that drive the desire to sort of visit or to establish yourself in a city. It's obviously the infrastructure possibilities, is the existence of a vibrant cultural life, and then of course is the pipeline of talents. So universities are clearly very, very interconnected to at least two of these, and now with City Deals also to the third one relating to infrastructure. So on the one end, of course, delivering buildings that have the potential for cultural exchange, which is what the university is really aiming to do. We have a Belfast campus that is built as a public walkway with a foyer that is open to the public and often hosting public events is one way to do this. And of course, with our new campus, we aim to do this much more. Secondly, we see ourselves as being key in developing cultural initiatives that will see us working in partnership. And, you know, I was at the center of a few of them recently. We brought to the city this notion of arts for all, for example, at Christmas, with a gift to the city of one piece of artwork that was exhibited in the university, explained to the public by our own students. I think we need a lot more of this, opportunities where the cultural vitality of the university is put to service to make sure that the city becomes engaged with what is effectively a gift and a benefit for everyone. The other thing, of course, is that, like you said during your year as a mayor, and like we believe, it's really important that we work very hard to make Belfast a city also for international students to come and choose as a place to study, and for their family, of course, to come and visit. And obviously, the university is putting an enormous effort, both universities are putting an enormous effort behind that in terms of their own direction of resources so that we can really work to develop Belfast as a much more of a global destination also for study.
Thank you, Rafi. Rajesh, in your work, I understand that you most likely would come into contact with a lot of people who do visit Northern Ireland, and they see Belfast as just a gateway to the rest of Northern Ireland, in particular to the North Coast and our beautiful surroundings that we do have there. What is it that you hear from people that makes them want to come back again, and what do you think it is that we can do better, regardless of what happens with Brexit? How do we actually create the environment where we have that successful economy for our tourism industry?
Well, one of the things that's important to bear in mind is there's a lot of different sectors in tourism. So one of the things that falls under the tourism category is actually business travel. A lot of people do come to Belfast, Northern Ireland for business. A lot of that is the conference market, which is a kind of a mix of leisure and business when people travel internationally for conferences. So what do people like to see? I mean, they do enjoy the fact that Belfast and Northern Ireland is relatively easy to get to travel. The road network is good. We need a lot more infrastructure in the North Coast. The North Coast has got a lot of capacity, a lot of potential still for major tourism growth. So we see a lot of potential there. Derry with the city walls is a major project that can still again grow a lot. So it's about joining up those dots, I think, and communicating what we do have. A lot of people across the world have heard of Belfast, so again, it's reinforcing that positive message. And the capital infrastructure projects really are the drivers. It is the Titanic Belfast that really kick-started tourism from 2012, the Giant's Causeway Visitor Centre, the Derry City Walls, and now the Story of Belfast and other projects around Game of Thrones. And those are the things that people have heard of. We went on a trade mission to India recently, and the thing people were talking about was Game of Thrones. So it's harnessing those branding assets, and then once people get here, selling the wider mix of what we do have to offer.
Thank you very much, Amrudash. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so I just wanted to kind of tie everything together. We were focusing this morning on city deals, and obviously there's a clear focus here on the Belfast region city deal, but we do hope that we will see more than one for Northern Ireland, and I understand that Derry and Strabane are coming along quite well in their plans. The four key pillars of the city deal for Belfast, focusing on innovation and digital capabilities with our partners with Ulster University and Queen's University. Tourism-led regeneration, we heard a little bit about the Belfast story, the second major tourist attraction. Infrastructure with the expansion of the BRT, specifically in the Belfast area, and employability and skills. But at the heart of all of this is the people, people who live here and people who come here. We want to make sure that Belfast is a successful city, because if it does, then it can drive the entirety of the Northern Ireland economy. We want to make sure that regardless of what happens with Brexit, we have our own capabilities to make our region a successful place. It'll be a big, massive challenge in the future, but it's clear that the message from our panellists here today that the way forward and the way to do that is through partnership. It's through collaborative working, and it's through actual delivery. I just want to say a particular thank you to Bill, Rafi, Rajesh and Glynn, and I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your conference.
Can I just say one thing we don't need is any more bloody shopping centres? Definitely not. That is not what will attract people to Belfast.
Thank you for that, Bill. Thank you.